welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, before we get into the news, you had commented that I had a haircut, and I really am just a trim of the beard. Now, I've noticed, and you probably don't know, because you probably don't watch a lot of news, but I watch mainstream news, I have given myself Chuck Todd's beard, which...
Yeah, I don't know what Chuck Todd looks like, but well, I believe you.
Anybody out there who knows Chuck Todd, I now have his beard, and my wife and I have affectionately dubbed this cut the Chuckles.
Chuckles. I think Paul Hollywood, except it's, you know, it's not white.
Oh, well, like give it time.
15 years younger than Paul Hollywood or something like that.
Give it time. Okay. All right, Kara, do you got any news for us today?
Yeah, I do. So according to some former and current government officials, multiple military and spy organizations are blocking or simply ignoring efforts to catalog what they know about unidentified aerial phenomena, which could lead to a delay in the release of the Senate Intelligence Report on unexplained sightings of flying objects. Quote, just getting access to the information because of all the different security bureaucracies, that's an ordeal in itself, said Christopher Mellon, a former Pentagon intelligence official. Two studies released last month indicate that even as vaccinations commence and the pandemic ends in rich developed countries, COVID is likely to continue to cause huge healthcare costs for months or years to come. One study showed that that between 1 and 6 months post-infection, people with mild coronavirus cases had a 60% higher risk of death than people never infected. A different study found that 69% of non-hospitalized adults who recovered from COVID had one or more outpatient visits in the months after their diagnosis. Two-thirds of these were diagnosed with something else. In short, COVID causes long-term health effects in many people who recover from it, and the exact cost of this is still unknown. Also in COVID news, over 5 million Americans have missed their second shots of Pfizer and Moderna, the CDC reports, leaving a huge number of people only partially protected and still at risk of spreading the disease. Finally, on something very different, an AI has spotted normally undetectable differences in handwriting between two scripts and one of the Dead Sea Scrolls, strongly indicating that the manuscripts were written by two different authors. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in the 1940s and represent the second oldest surviving texts of the Hebrew Bible. Back to you, Chauncey.
Getting into COVID now, the cost for the long-term health, you know, that's what's been terrifying my wife this whole time. Mm-hmm. She didn't want COVID, and like people are just, oh, you're not going to die. And she's all, I know I'm not going to die. I'm way more healthy than everybody else my age. What I don't want is the long-term effects. And that's what she's been scared of this whole time, because she's been reading everything and saying this is going on, but nobody else was really talking about it with any sort of vim and vigor. It would just kind of pass under the main news, but that's what really scared my wife, you know?
Yeah, considering just – because I think earlier in the pandemic we thought it was rare for this to happen, but I think now we're more discovering – the data is more suggesting that, no, it's pretty common to get some month-long, you know, knock-on effects from COVID. So, I mean, it's been a while since the last pandemic. Right.
Right.
It's been a while since the last time that everyone was exposed to a disease that they had no immunity to. So it makes sense that maybe we're rediscovering, hey, a new disease can cause some really weird effects in the body, or maybe it's a COVID specific thing. I don't know. But it's.
Well, yeah, like the Cuban thing, we never figured out what that was, but we thought it might have been a virus or a bacteria. Right.
What Cuban thing?
With the ears ringing that they thought was a sonic attack at first.
Oh, wow. I never actually heard about this.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all pretty convinced that it wasn't a sonic attack. The sound that was passed around was actually crickets, and that it might have been some sort of a viral infection or something. Hmm. Now, I'm in no way an expert, you know, so if anybody out there is going, you don't know what you're talking about, you're right, I don't. But, I mean, I have read this article that says this.
Okay, I guess there was a time in which there was a sonic attack that was actually a virus. news to me.
Well, I mean, my wife had the swine flu, and it caused her ears to ring for like a year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I guess that's kind of the same thing.
It's, and confusion, I find, is a big part of the flu these days. Not even talking about coronavirus or swine flu or anything. I feel that a lot of people that I know, when they've gotten the flu, a confusion has been a side effect of it, which is weird because that's like some sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's not going to be so simple as pandemic's over. I mean, maybe we can all go outside, but yeah, our hospitals are going to have troubles for a while.
All the more so because half of us that have gotten it haven't got the second shot. Is that what that was?
Well, 5 million, so I don't know what the total is.
Oh, okay.
I hope that's not fully half of the people who have gotten it. But 5 million is still, you know, there's, what, like 250 million people in the country? 150 million, something like that?
Yeah.
So it's a pretty significant chunk.
Well, now, as soon as you said this, it made me think of something. And I'm wondering, what's the first thing you thought of when you read that or heard that?
I mean, I kind of thought, oh, man, people are flaking out, you know?
Right. Yeah. My fear that I first thought of was, are vaccines anything like antibiotics?
Yeah.
You get where I'm going with this, I assume?
Right, yeah, no. And that, it kind of warned about this, that, like, it might prevent mild infections, but still, like, deadlier variants.
Right. That
are swimming around might, you know, still be carried by these people. So
right. And is it creating a place for it to fester and get to be a better killing machine or something? You know, it's like,
yeah, that wasn't really clear from what I read, but it seems like the risk potential is there. At least it's, I don't know. It seems like it's still probably better to get, cause there's, well, it seems like it's still probably better to like get one shot than to not get any shots.
Well, that's
also
good.
Like, you gotta get both shots, otherwise the thing that we're all doing this so that it can happen, which is that we can lift all these lockdown restrictions, it's going to be harder, you know. And a certain percentage of Americans just aren't going to get it anyway, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we need, I think the figure is something like 70-80%.
Yeah, yeah, 75-85 is what I saw in the news, but I'm sure that number varies depending on the source.
So, you know, as long as we can get to that number, then it's all fine. But if stuff like this prevents us from doing that, then...
Well, it doesn't sound like we're going to get to that number. Hey.
Yeah, well, you know, the availability of vaccines is much more than it was.
Right.
So, I hope we do. It would be very depressing if we were not able to get to that number.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe we need a counter up on the website. And then finally, AI says two authors for the Dead Sea Scrolls. I was not aware that we considered them all one author. And so I got asked, did we know who the author was? And why would it matter that it's two authors?
Yeah, so we don't know who the authors of most of these things were. But the reason it sort of matters is not for this specific scroll, but the idea that now we can use AI to like solve biblical questions of authorship.
I think is kind of
a crazy thing, because, you know, there's so many just
even beyond biblical. I get what you're saying. Basically, we can. It's not prehistoric, proto-historic. We can make comparisons between the rarity of authors probably at the time and make connections between all sorts of different old texts that we would have no way of figuring out.
And, you know, we can say, because a lot of texts, it's a big problem, is, you know, there will be an original text that was altered, you know, hundreds of years later, maybe.
Right.
And to fit more in line with the theological or moral or just political ideas of that time. So there's a lot of stuff where,
like the history of, like the history of Abraham Lincoln, and then we update it to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Exactly. Yes, Chauncey, that's what I was thinking of.
Right? All right, stick around. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is Costas McCreese. We were supposed to talk mainly about star people from Mount Shasta, but it just turned into a conversation about star people in general. So come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
Hi, this is Cindy at Louch Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. As we grow our landscape lineup, we invite you to come see what we have done to bring you a high-quality selection for all your projects. Take advantage of our ever-growing selection of small rental equipment to help transform your yard, like a track machine trencher, rototillers, sod cutters, fiber plates, sod rollers, and so much more. Get the lawn you want this year using our Bolero Plus Sod by Delta Bluegrass and pair that with our Jumpstart Fertilizer to give it the boost it needs to thrive. Louch Landscape Supply is home of the UCAR Concrete, where we have a large fleet of concrete trailers to help get the job done right and on time. Call and reserve yours today at 378-2220. You pick up or we deliver, where no load is too big or too small at Louch Landscape Supply. We have several different size trucks to accommodate your needs with fast and efficient delivery to your job site. We have a dedicated staff ready to walk you through your next project, so just give us a call at 378-2220. Check us out on the web at louchlandscapesupply.com or just come see us 7 days a week at the intersection of Dersh, Airport, and Churn Creek Road, and tell your friends.
Compass Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook. Compass Sports Cards.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and our guest tonight is Costas McCreese. Am I saying that last name correctly?
You got it right. Most people don't. They skip the break, but you said McCreese, so okay. 10 points.
Good, good. All right, so it's been about 3 years, 4 years, many years, many moons, since you were on the show last, and, you know, the world is a very different place than it once was. That, I think, is inarguable, regardless of how anybody feels about the world that we currently live in. It is different fast. You know, but our topic tonight is Mount Shasta star people contact and experiences. You know, Kara and I were both originally from Reading, or at least that's where we lived a long period of time before we recently moved away, you know, and so this has always been something that was always kind of creeping around back there. So, like, we deal a lot with paranormal stuff, and I'm always thinking, like we'll have somebody talking about the Jersey Devil or something, and I'm all like, oh, something local to them. And, you know, it's interesting that we have something local to us, you know. Why don't you explain, I don't know, give us a little backstory so that our audience kind of knows what we're talking about, seeing how it is so local to us. Why don't you give us a little backstory?
Yeah, I think I should probably tell your audience, like, who I am, because part of the backstory that turned into Smart Shasta Experiences is, I mean, it's all critical. Basically, I'm the founder of the ET Let's Talk community, which was founded in 2012, but my contact with extraterrestrials actually began in 2006 in Mount Shasta, and we'll be spending time, you know, talking about the experiences there that were life-changing for me. But what I'd like people to know is that the community that I run is an online community. We have 150,000 people in more than 100 countries, and we teach them how to make their own human-initiated, interactive contact with our star friends. Mm-hmm. Have lots of stories, lots of experience from hundreds of people over the years to make that real exciting, and I'm still doing that. So that's the community, and it all came out of my formative experiences in Mount Shasta. As far as the backstory, well, a little bit more that I will say is that I grew up many decades ago in the American Midwest, during the 60s and 70s when all the moonshots, the Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo programs were going on. And, you know, they captured the attention of the world at that time. And no matter what you think of NASA these days, and there's some controversy out there and conspiracy theories and such, back then, they were the major game in town. And like I said, they ignited the imagination of the world. And space still does that, right, to many of us in so many different ways. I was no different. I was out with my telescope in my backyard. I read a lot of science fiction. I was just interested in space and watched movies and all that, and of course the space program. I discovered a book on UFOs when I was about 10 years old that was written by one of the contactees from the contactee movement. Your audience might know that in the 40s and 50s and 60s and partly into the 70s, there was a wave of contactees. Many of them genuine, some of them fake, but they were writing books, and they kind of launched in a large way the modern interest that most of us have now in the UFO, UAP phenomena. And I was no different as a kid. Saw that book, saw the pictures of the dome-shaped craft, and I was smitten because this was science fiction come to life. Right?
Of course, yeah.
And I knew that they were real, but fast forward many years later till 2006, in Mount Shasta, but here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is about 4 hours by car, at least the way that I drive. Very slowly, and
you and me both on that one.
Legal limit all the time.
Right.
Maybe four and a half hours, which is really convenient. Mount Shasta has a well-deserved reputation as a powerful spiritual place for interdimensional experiences, outer space experiences, whatever you want. It has attracted lots of people, and for good reason, a lot of experiences, and mine are no different, and I'll go into some more of that detail. What I will say that in 2006, as an adult, I got on the internet and put the word UFO into the search bar. Try doing that, and then stand back, because it's like someone just aimed a fire hose at you, and it just comes at once, right?
I do that every Monday to get our news.
Do you? Okay, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The tough part is, how do you whittle all that down?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Back then, I discovered a group of people doing something new, which was human-initiated close encounters of the fifth kind of contact, which you do with your consciousness through meditation and visualization. And you connect with the star beings piloting these craft, and depending on how you want it, you can have communication that's interactive in so many different ways. So this group of people was doing that. That was very new to me, that you could reach out and do it. All during my life, I had known people that I trusted who had up close and personal encounters with StarCraft. I mean, literally, people I know, one would fly over their car, just like in the movie, and the car would stop. A beam of light would shine down. They'd have circular lights. It would zip about. No noise, no nothing. I had a friend who's had an experience in the New Mexico desert with really a mothership, her and four of her passengers in a car. But not until I decided to go join this group in Mount Shasta for a week and learn how to make my own contact, could I ever say that I had my own experience. And I had three of them during that week that made it very real for me and changed my life, so that I wound up eventually founding this community, etletstalk.com, which teaches people how to do this, and also founding the People's Disclosure Movement, which I can also talk about because it's very, very important these days as a topic in the UFO, UAP community. And by the way, the People's Disclosure Movement has, by my count, and I think this is kind of conservative, 650,000 people all over the world talking about, interested in doing their own disclosure. And a lot of that is the kind of thing that we teach at ET Let's Talk, of doing your own. And I have more to say about that movement, because it's really the big umbrella of what's going on the planet right now that everyday people like us really have a hand in, rather than waiting for governments to give us the narrative of what's going on, to cover it up, to lie to us and all that. With that movement, we make our own contact, and we kind of go from being believers into knowers, because we're the ones that reveal and actually see and communicate with these pilots. So that's a whole other stream of stories.
You know, the question that really comes to mind from this immediately is the Mount Shasta connection and this sort of spiritual crossover. So
yeah, I was wondering that too.
So Mount Shasta is really associated with this spiritualness and with these alien visitations. Are we confusing visitations with another being that's actually something scientific and totally natural to them, as something that's being spiritual? Is there a confusion there, or is there actually a connection there?
I really think there's a connection. I look at it as a continuum. Every living being, no matter what frequency they are, and you can talk about other dimensions, you can talk about the physical world that we're in, we all have consciousness. That is what the universe is. And we're all at different levels, in my humble opinion, of development. There's nothing wrong with me being in this body, for example, or you having a spiritual consciousness and having the ability to contact with some greater source, that whatever you label it. So I can be physical, drive a car, and also be a spiritual being. I don't see why that would be any different.
I guess what I'm trying to say is...
I
totally get what you're saying. You're helping me clarify my question. And that is... the difference, whatever the difference is, I don't know, between spirituality and telepathy. Like, are we dealing with spirituality, or are we dealing with telepathy, or are we dealing with both?
I truly believe it's both.
Okay.
Telepathy is just a means of communication. It's the infrastructures, if you will. Spirituality to me is a matter of the heart. The personal heart, the great cosmic heart, the love, in my opinion, that holds the entire cosmos together and which prevails.
Thank you.
The Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. Or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Spring savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
You know, despite the outer seeming of what we see in the world, I truly believe the underlying magnet that holds us all together is a great heart. It's great love, a great being that we are all that, expressing itself through love, which again, I think conquers all. Telepathy is just a means of that, doing that communication. And a lot of that goes on, in our community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm always very confused by it because I'm not particularly a spiritual person. So when I hear people say that, I'm all, sorry, Kara, what were you about to ask?
Well, I'm curious about Mount Shasta itself. You mentioned it as sort of a important sort of spiritual, transdimensional place. I'm curious about, like, sort of the nature of that and why that is. Is it a mountain that's sort of arbitrarily chosen as by these beings as like a crossover point or whatever, or is there something about the geography of the place that is like?
I think it may be all of the above. Mm-hmm. I don't have all the answers about that mountain in that way. What I know about it is just the many people who've gone there, as well as my own experience, who have had different experiences. So we know from the evidence, you know, mm-hmm. of our own beingness, that there is something there. Now, having said that, some of the beings that people have contacted at Mount Shasta will give them more information that will answer the kind of thing you're asking about. And yes,
yeah.
I have heard that it is geographically a center, like a chakra of the planetary body, in the same way that human beings are said to have, you know, the seven chakras, or there's actually, there's a lot more, but seven major ones. So yeah, it has a physical dimension to it. Or rather a powerful spiritual magnetism to it, or whatever word you want to label it, that results in a lot of cool experiences for a variety of people. I'd like to tell you about really what I think your viewers would be interested in, because this is a local story, and we all love that mountain, having gone there very many times. So back in 2006, when I drank from the fire hose of putting in UFO on the search engine.
Right.
And then discovering all these people, I said to my wife, who also grew up in the same era that I did and had been interested in space, but not in the real far out stuff like science fiction and getting into astronomy. Moreover, just in the space shots kind of stuff, because that was in the headlines a lot.
In the history part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and she was an engineer like I am, so we had interest in, you know, the rockets and the fuels and all the laws that went into how you get from here to there with the science that we know. Anyway, I said to her, hey, these people are making contact up there, and this is kind of cool. A little bit of me is afraid, because I grew up with all the scary Hollywood movies about aliens coming to, you know, to eat us and take our women, take our men.
Right,
take our cars, take our good clothes. I don't know. Whatever frightens human beings, Hollywood was willing to go in there and just put that fear into you. And they still do.
They still do. Oh, yeah.
E.T. wants your Crocs.
Yeah. They want.
Oh, you said good clothes. Sorry.
Ooh, I get that. So I had a little bit of fear because I'd been programmed since a child. However, the rest of me was just excited. Mm-hmm. So I asked my wife, come with me for 6 days. This is kind of a cool adventure. And she says, nah, I've got a couple businesses to run. I know it's a huge universe. I do believe there's life. I believe they're visiting us, but I don't see what it has to do with my daily life. It's not personal to me.
She's more pragmatic.
Very pragmatic. And not that I'm not, but she was not willing to explore because her imagination was just not wrapped around that. Mine was. I was reading science fiction as a kid.
I very much get this.
My you know what I'm talking about?
It's all about history, like, and logic and pragmatism. And while I am pragmatic, I'm definitely spend my free time dreaming, not thinking, you know.
And it's a good thing we do all that. So she said to me, go have fun. You have my support. So I went. Three things happened that week. The two major stories that I guess we have time for is we were making contact. I learned a lot of new things, how to look in the sky, how to spot what's real and what's man-made, you know, et cetera. And we were seeing StarCraft up there. I have no doubt. They were zipping around. They were flashing. There were orbs in the trees. There were experiences on the ground that people could feel. But we were seeing phenomena. So every morning I would call my wife back up here in the Bay Area, and knowing she was having her coffee and at a certain time, and say, here's what we saw last night. This is what got me excited. Boom, 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 boom. And about the fourth fourth morning, just as I was getting ready to tell her about the previous evening, she stops me and says, wait a minute, before you get started, I've got a story for you. And I thought, what could be more exciting than what I was seeing last night?
Right.
And she did. She basically said that as she was turning out the light to go to bed, scooching down, getting herself comfortable. Now, I have to say she has really good night vision, physical eyes like a bat. And she also is a clairvoyant of many years as a professional. So she has inner clairvoyant vision. But what I'm about to describe, she saw with her physical eyes in the dark with the lights out. So she's getting ready, like I said, scooching down and getting comfortable, and she looks at the foot of the bed, 5 feet away, 6 feet, and there are four beings, maybe five, standing behind the four, standing there, staring at her, like apropos of nothing. They didn't knock. Right. There was no dramatic Star Wars music or anything. They were standing there. They were translucent white, about 3.5-4 feet tall. They had large heads, like larger than the proportion of the rest of their body, big slanted eyes, not much definition with the nose and mouth, but there probably was something there, thin neck, thin torso and arms. She couldn't see their legs, so she assumed they were bipedal because the edge of the bed that they were standing by was obscuring them. So they were physical enough that the wavelength of light that we're used to precluded her from being able to see the rest of them. They were in our dimension enough. Anyway, they're staring at her, and she was speechless. But she wasn't afraid because she said coming off of them were waves of love just enveloping her, just love. And as she says on interviews when we talk about this, you know, who can be afraid of that much love? I'm shocked, but I'm not afraid. Mm-hmm. And then she heard in her mind in a really like a sing-song fashion, telepathy. There we go. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Who are you? We theorized today and actually back then that they were following my connection up in Mount Shasta to her. Someone found me up there and looked through me and saw my connection to someone I'm close to energetically, my wife of many, many years. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of maybe followed the lead and wound up in our bedroom going, okay, we got here now. What's there to see? Who are you? And it was very sweet, she said. There's just sweetness and love. And she couldn't think of what to say, but eventually she got her thoughts together and asked them, where are you from? Like with her mind. She wishes she had asked them instead, how'd you get here?
Right.
You know, that would be, you know, as an engineer, right? We all, the two of us will want to know that, but didn't get that chance. And in her mind, she says, formed the words very slowly in a sing-song fashion again, Arcturus. And she had never heard of that because she was not the astronomy geek that I was, Arcturus. Right. They faded out after that. They looked at each other for a while, and then they just faded out. And that was the end of her experience. And a lot of people would have probably had to change their clothing, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
An experience like that. But no, not Hollis. She's been a psychic all her life, and her guides talk to her. She hears voices. Hey, okay. And what's cool is she never has the kind of imagination that wanted to see something like that or actually to even see it. So she was, I think, the perfect example of someone that this could happen to who you could say didn't make it up or everything because she was just not there. She's not that person that wanted that. No. But she had that experience, described it to me, and I validated it and said, you know what, Arcturus, she asked me, is Arcturus a place? I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's astronomy 101. It's a hyper, what they call today, a hypergiant, I believe, a super red giant star that you can see with the naked eye, actually. Yeah, it's a place. And she says, you know what? Now it's personal. Next year I'm coming with you. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of what eventually became, you know, ETLetstalk.com and our community. A personal visitation. And I like to say on these kinds of programs, wherever you are, my Arcturian friends, thank you because you showed up, you made it really personal. It's kind of like what it took was like right in your face.
Right.
To have my partner get interested in this and be with me all these years later, still interested in still having more adventures. So I'm grateful to them for that. That's my one experience.
Well, let me ask you before we move on to the next one. I noticed that you used the word starcraft. It's star people. Most people do not use these terminologies. So why the use of that terminology?
I've seen them up close. They're not from this world. And I mean up close. That's my next story. They're not just lights in the sky. They do appear as lights in the sky. And the reason is, I believe, a few reasons. Most human beings can see. Some of us, maybe, if you talk about psychic gifts, have this gift or that gift or the other, whatever, and may be able to perceive in different ways. Not everyone is equal, so not everyone can share an experience if, say, it's just telepathy or it's clairaudience. We all have sight. I mean, thankfully, most of us. So when we see lights in the sky, it can be a group experience. We might see different colors, but we're all sharing it because we, these organs here, are there.
Now with a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Albee from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. As we grow our landscape lineup, we invite you to come see what we have done to bring you a high-quality selection for all your projects. Take advantage of our ever-growing selection of small rental equipment to help transform your yard, like a track machine trencher, rototillers, sod cutters, fiber plates, sod rollers, and so much more. Get the lawn you want this year using our Bolero Plus Sod by Delta Bluegrass and pair that with our Jumpstart Fertilizer to give it the boost it needs to thrive. Lauch Landscape Supply is home of the U-Cart Concrete, where we have a large fleet of concrete trailers to help get the job done right and on time. Call and reserve yours today at 378-2220. You pick up or we deliver, where no load is too big or too small. At Lauch Landscape Supply, we have several different size trucks to accommodate your needs with fast and efficient delivery to your job site. We have a dedicated staff ready to walk you through your next project, so just give us a call at 378-2220. Check us out on the web at LauchLandscapeSupply.com or just come see us 7 days a week at the intersection of Dersh, Airport, and Churn Creek Road, and tell your friends.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Killark Powerhouse is a substation of Northern California Power Company located on Old Cow Creek near Whitmore. It was built to supply additional power to Keswick and Mount Copper Company. And as a backup power plant for the Volta Powerhouse, it began generating power in 1904, operated 24 hours a day. On the grounds were the foreman's two-story stone house plus two other houses, a nine-bedroom clubhouse usually occupied by single men, a horse barn, and a dance hall upstairs and a swimming pool. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Hey, Redding, guess what? Our dining room at Black Bear Diner is open again, and we're bringing chili back. That's right. Come dine in comfort inside of our Hilltop Drive location. And special for March, ask for a bowl or cup of our delicious homemade chili. Or try one of our new chili creations. A chili stuffed breakfast burrito. A chili cheddar cheeseburger. Or for dinner, our tri-tip chili platter. Come dine inside or order for takeout at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Think about it. With the technology they have, why wouldn't they have obliterated us or enslaved us hundreds of years ago before we had nuclear weapons, right? And energy, directed energy beam weapons. If they really wanted the Earth, they could have come in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries had us just like that. What was it? In 2010, a few objects shut down 10% of the U.S. nuclear force. There's been a press conference about this. It's out there on YouTube. It made the papers in mainstream. You know, a glowing object appeared at Minot Air Force Base that scared the crap out of the people there. It went up the chain of command. What is this thing? The 10% of the nuclear rockets, missiles, not connected to each other in a chain reaction, they went down. Who can do that? Those objects, those people did that. It was right. Demonstration. They were trying to say, this is what we can do, but we mean you no harm. We wish you really would stop playing with this stuff. Because you have a better future. You're better than this.
Right.
But here's a demonstration. And my point again, 100 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of this, include especially this demonstration part, has made me think of, and I'm going to guess that you've read this book, seeing how you said you were a sci-fi fan. A lot of it makes me think of Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke. You know, it seems to have that same sort of, we're here to help you, we're very scary to you, but we definitely have the power to stop war, we're here to communicate, we're going to help you get to the next level. Sort of a lot of very similar messaging to Childhood's End, which anybody who hasn't read it, I think it's just about as good as alien books get.
Yeah, I recommend it too for the same reasons. He was ahead of his time, mm-hmm. and we're thankful to him for putting that meme out there, because when that book was written, it was the heyday of, well, the beginning of the heyday of all the negative Hollywood movies, right, and stuff. So mm-hmm. Childhood's End was a counterbalance to all that. As was 2001, A Space Odyssey, mm-hmm. as was E.T., The Extraterrestrial, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, and Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry is said
Stranger
to
be... Stranger in a Strange Land.
Stranger in a Strange Land, yeah. And Gene Roddenberry, who opened up all our minds with Star Trek. I remember when the mm-hmm. first shows came on. I mean, the current generation can't have an appreciation for how big it was. I think it was on Thursday nights mm-hmm. when Star Trek came on, NASA shut down. You know, that's what I hear some of the interviews, because they were watching, you know, too. And he had, there were the Klingons and there was war in outer space, but they introduced so many positive concepts through that show, showing a humanity that did go into space, because on board the Enterprise, you had a black woman, a white guy, a Scottish guy, a Russian guy, an Asian guy, all working together in space. I mean, this was the 60s when people were saying, let's all work together and get along. And Roddenberry said, yeah, we can do that and go to the stars as well. So he was introducing all that. We have a lot of potential as humans, and I want to see us survive long enough to really reach a golden age that our star friends say is possible because they've done it. I know they have technologies not only of free energy, which would change and level the playing field all over the world, but it would unleash the human spirit. You know, when people ask me, like my wife did years ago, what's this got to do with me, with my daily life? I got to pay my bills. I got to go to work. Got to go see the doctor. Okay, they're up there in the sky. Nice. What's it got to do with me? And my answer is everything.
Oh, yeah.
If their technology was here now with free energy, which actually we do have, thanks to Nikola Tesla, been sequestered away, but when they bring the healing from the medical technologies they have to do away with our diseases, free energy, we won't have to work as human beings the way we do now, being machines, that 40-hour-a-week thing. We can end hunger. We can end poverty. Won't happen overnight. It's a process. But once people have this energy where they can power their home, their house, their car, their city, their country for free forever with no pollution, that will free us up from having
Absolutely.
Pay so much to create stuff so that we can let our spirits, we can spend 30 hours of what we used to be 40 hours of work, learning to dance, to write poetry, to travel, to meet new people, to expand ourselves, to get along, so that we're not fighting for the oil under someone else's sand amongst ourselves because we think we have limited resources. That's the fossil fuel game that the powers that be want to keep us in with the fear. And that's what you're going to see June 25th. There's going to be, I think that's the date or thereabouts.
Yeah, something.
Is a smattering. And I'm telling people, my star friends have said directly, don't be a victim to that fear. It's the same old game. They'll sprinkle some nuggets of truth in there. A certain other people will cast it as an alien false invasion hoax. Pay no attention to that. They said, if you want a future, the best way to predict the future is to create it. Start visualizing the world that you want is what was suggested to us. Put your energy and direct it towards creating that world, finding allies, doing something in your neighborhood for the world, whatever project betters the world. Put your energy there and you will create that world. If you want to stay in fear, then you're welcome to do that, but you're not going to get that world. You're going to continue to be a puppet on a string being manipulated by someone else,
right,
fearing an alien invasion or the possibility of one. And I'm just begging people to ignore that, ignore the people talking about that, and just go out, make your own contact, and find out how we're really loved. I have lots of stories about that, too. It is about love.
It's a perfect segue for sharing those because we're right here at the end, and I want to make sure that we have a chance to let the audience know where they can reach you. ETLetsTalk.com is the website, and what's their best bet on Facebook? I see that the group, I don't, you know, a member, but the group is closed. They just asked to join.
You asked to join. It's called CE5 UFO. Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, ETLetsTalk.com. If they're all part of the title, if you put that into Facebook, it should bring up the group. Mm-hmm. And people can just ask to join. I do ask people before joining, why do you want to join? It's a monitored group because it's a support group on Facebook of people who've had their own experience. Not a place where you just announce general UFO stuff. It's about the members having their own experience, teaching each other, helping each other, putting the pieces of the jigsaw together. So it's a support group with cool experiences and a lot of great people there. Mm-hmm. But the membership is free on etletstalk.com. You'll get on my list. We have free webinars. We have retreats where we teach people. We have the monthly ET contact events. All our teams come together globally. We put them up on maps so you can see where we all are doing it every once a month, making contact. And I think it's exciting. It's us discovering the new world, and they're waiting on us to kind of get it together and welcome them in peace in larger numbers, and we're all part of that. So I invite people to join.
Sounds great. Well, you've been listening to Costas Priest here on Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about the, you know, Mount Shasta Star People in Contact experience was our initial topic, but we definitely dug deeper into the communications and really kind of what's going on in your world. If you want to find out more, check out etletstalk.com, and thank you again, Costas, for being on the show.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.